scripture coming this week from Acts chapter 2.
Okay, and I am reading from the New International Version. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like the sound of a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because they heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each one of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and
Pamphylia,
Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" Peter addresses the crowd. "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, 'I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your son and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs to the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Mass Exodus. All right. So this is quite a spectacle. You know, I think it's interesting that we've heard the story read enough times that we go, yep, I kind of remember that. That sounds kind of familiar. But think of it in a different way. Think of it, what would it be like if we came together, there was a rush of a mighty wind, Eva starts speaking in Arabic, Matt starts speaking in Mandarin Chinese, Rich starts speaking in Russian. It wouldn't be just another story, would it? We'd all be looking around going, what in the world is going on? The whole story is hard to comprehend because we've heard it too many times. What actually started me thinking is my professor at Duke, Richard Hayes, was talking about, he says, if you want to realize how strange this is, you start counting all those strange places you've never heard of. He says, and one of the things that I want you to know is there's 11 disciples speaking, but there's more than 11 languages being heard. So it's even stranger than you initially thought. So how do you make sense of it? And this is one of the times when you really have to put things in context and you really have to go back. So I'm going to jump around a little bit from scripture to scripture and try and tie it together for you. In Genesis, when they're in the garden, there's a tree that Adam and Eve are not supposed to eat of. It's the one in the center of the garden, and it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they eat of the tree, the relationship with God is broken. Do you know why that is? Who determines what is good and what is evil? God. So if you want to seize the knowledge of good and evil, what you're saying about your relationship with God, you don't need him anymore. And in that moment of brokenness, the relationship is torn. And God has to send them out of the Garden of Eden, because to live in sin forever would not be a blessing, but a torment. So the next story I want to jump to comes from Genesis 11. It's the Tower of Babel. And what happens in the Tower of Babel sounds equally strange and cruel. And they begin to build bricks and bake them thoroughly. And using tar for mortar, they said, "Come, let us build a city that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth." Well, what has happened there is another transition. They're not going to build a tower for God. They're going to make a tower to make a name for themselves. And they no longer need God. So in that moment, God looks at what is happening. And he sees the same thing about to happen. That they are going to step away from God and separate themselves from God. So rather than allow them to separate in that way, he scatters them and changes their languages. So what is happening on Pentecost? It's a reversal of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was the people declaring their independence and stepping away from God. At Pentecost, Jesus has breathed his Holy Spirit and people have surrendered and accepted the Spirit of God into them. And as they take that Spirit of God into them, the Tower of Babel is released and everybody begins to hear the Word of God and the love of God in the language that they understand. And that's how the birthday of the church begins. But that brings me to woman by the name of Flannery O'Connor. She was a great Christian author, and she was sometimes quite blunt. And one of the things that she said at this time, she says, "Well, that's great. Is this a story of history? Is this a story of what God used to do? Is this a story that's supposed to reassure us that we, as we remember what God used to be able to do? Then the heck with it. If that's all it is, who cares?" But you see, it's not. See, what actually happens is the Holy Spirit begins its work. It doesn't end it. So for you today, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit is active? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit might do for you or will do for you? Well, glad you asked. In the books of the New Testament, there are many things that it talks about in terms of what the Holy Spirit will do. In Galatians, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free, but free to walk in the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, but the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we live by the Spirit, the fruit will be present within us." The other thing that it does is it leads us in ways that we can't go by ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about Paul's mentioning that I did not come preaching wise and persuasive words. I came to preach on God's power, Christ and Him crucified. For no eye is seen, no ear is heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those that love us. And these things God will reveal to us by His Spirit. So the understanding is that God can reveal things to us that we can't comprehend on our own, that we can't come up with on our own. I don't know if you have experienced this, but I often come to a scripture on a Sunday morning where I do not understand what it is that God wants me to say. And as I study in the commentaries and the dictionaries, I hope that I will come upon a nugget that will help me build something that will allow me to understand. And nothing happens. And then I pray or I go and run and I let go, and all of a sudden something comes to me. And I know that it's not something that I have been pondering, it's not something that I have come up with, but it's something that God gives to me. It's spiritual wisdom. And that spiritual wisdom allows me to reach out to you in ways that I didn't understand before. I think it's interesting to go over the scriptures. I've told my wife this before. It's just, when I have a sermon that I think is really well written and really tight, and I'm really excited for Sunday morning to come, I come through and I preach the sermon, and I come and I go to the back of the church and I start reaching out and shaking hands, and people say things like, "Beautiful day, isn't it? Oh, I have another prayer request for you. Juliana sang very well today." And then there are days where I wake up and I'm going, "This is terrible. I don't know how I'm even going to stand up there and preach with a straight face. This is dry as dirt." And I stand in the back of the church and people say, "Wow, that really changed the way I think about life. Wow, I was really feeling bad and that just touched my heart. You know, that was really, really profound." And I go, "Okay, it's a great thing, because when I was growing up in the 70s, there was a great phrase that was called, 'If it is to be, it's up to me.' Man, there is nothing more untrue when you're in the ministry. Because if you think it's up to you, your life is going to be a struggle. If you rely on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it's a totally different thing. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is it spreads out spiritual gifts. There's a phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that says, to one is given a message of wisdom, to other a message of knowledge, to another a gift of healing, to other miraculous powers, to some prophecy, for other discernment of spirits, to another speaking in tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. They are different gifts, but works of the same Spirit. And to each one, He gives as He determines. Second part about being in ministry is you don't get all the gifts. And it is challenging and frustrating, but you have to understand that you are meant to be part of the body, you are not meant to be the body. And you have to trust in other people to pull the other parts together. One of the things that I enjoy is the presentation of a pageant or a story. the Christmas message, the Easter message. I love the way that it can be portrayed in pictures, in music, in creation. And if you want to hear some funny stories, you should listen to my wife tell stories about her trying to explain to me colors and what different colors do. Or can you imagine this in green? No. Simple answer is no. God did not gift me with that at all. And it's something I have to rely on others for. I think that one of the things that's interesting about the body of Christ is we always think the gift that we have is the one that is simple and insignificant. And the one that other people have are the special ones that are important. Sometimes I forget, and God has to remind me. I was with a friend online, and we were talking, and he said, the crowds are coming back. He says, it was so easy to preach to the camera and not have to worry about people. He says, now I'm going to have to start throwing up every Sunday again. And I went, you're afraid of public speaking? Wow. I said, I guess took it for granted that preachers didn't have that. But I guess I'm blessed that I don't have that, and others are not quite so blessed. But what I wanted to talk about in closing is the world that we find ourselves in right now is very stressed and very fallen. I don't know if you have been watching the news, but the riots are happening. A young man in Minneapolis lost his life due to excessive force, and the riots are continuing. And people are choosing sides. And that is, I think, where we come in. I was texting with my son this morning, and he says that Fort Bragg is on alert, 4-hour recall in case of emergency deployment around the country. That's how on edge people perceive things to be. We as Christians are meant to be salt and light. We're meant to be leaven. We're meant to be something that settles, that brings peace, that shares the peace of God's presence. I know many of you are thinking, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. I don't have that ability. That is what the Holy Spirit does. When you step out in faith and in grace, the Holy Spirit allows you to do things that you didn't think you could do. I listened to the governor of Minnesota speak, and I actually don't know much about him other than what I heard him say. And he says, people are looking for someone to blame. He says, I'll make it simple. Me. I will take the blame for this. It did not go well. It shouldn't have resulted in the arrest of reporters. There shouldn't have been excessive force. I will take the blame. There was a great leader many years ago who said, there's no telling how much we can accomplish if we don't worry about who takes the blame or who gets the credit. I think those words could have come from Jesus. If God is the one from whom all blessings flow, taking the credit is really kind of pointless. And since Jesus went to the cross to take our blame and our shame, trying to decide whose fault it is a losing game as well. If we are to be salt and light, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're supposed to be the countercultural presence that shows people that there is something more than what you're seeing. There's something more than meets the eye. There's a Holy Spirit that moves. There's an eternal life that waits for you. There's a church that is born in the Holy Spirit that has a place for you. That's why that story from Acts is important. The story from Acts isn't just about speaking Parthian or Mede. It's not learning ancient Aramaic and Galatian. It's that the Holy Spirit reaches out to each and every group, each and every person. There is nothing in this earth that God does not claim as his own. Jesus died for all. The Holy Spirit, what did it say? The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, male and female. Your young will dream dreams, your old will see visions. Nobody is excluded. It's poured out on everyone. Some really good news. Do you know anybody who needs to hear it? I think you do. And I think that's why God gave it to you, so you could share it. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we come today on this birthday of the church to remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Remember the understanding of what it is that we are called to be. Not someone who has a list of answers for all the questions, but someone who follows the one who is the answer. Help us to offer up Christ, to offer the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and to offer an invitation to all to come. And God's people said, we're going to...